fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Sullivan. With me, as always, the one and only Kevin Trusler. And Kevin, before I kick it over to you, I want to slightly change the name, and I want to call today's show the Golden Greasy Pigeon Podcast here on the USA. I mean, I know when it comes to that game, Kev, we are on opposite sides, but the one thing we can agree on is give me that type of hockey in my blood as often as possible.
Unbelievable. The speed, the skill, the compete level, man, it's going to be tough going back to NHL, at least for this remainder of the regular season. And then, you know, we know the speed and intensity amps up come the spring and playoff time. But yeah, you know, hats off to the U.S. I mean, you talk about bend, don't break. They were able to manage a relentless attack by the Canucks. And, you know, unfortunately for the Maple Leaf, you weren't able to get that go-ahead goal. It wasn't due to lack of effort, but there's going to be some moments in that game that'll haunt some players for quite some time. The opportunities were there, but hats off for to Hellebuck. I mean, I know we were talking beforehand, and that's reminiscent of the Dominik Hasek Czech team in 98 in Nagano. That's sort of the feeling I had at the end of that game was yesterday when the red light went on, when Hughes popped the game winner. But, you know, again, it was a lot of fun. Both teams, they paid for the entertainment. They brought the show that everyone wanted to see. It's just sad that we've got to go a couple years until the world championships, or I think they're going to do a similar world, not four nations, but include some World Cup of hockey, right?
To kind of expand let the Czechs in, right? Let some of the Slovaks had a great tournament, right? Like let some of these other countries in.
The Swiss and the Danes. I mean, like, it is just incredible to watch. The quarterfinal games, Canada and the U.S., they were a shot away from not even meddling, having to go to overtime against Canada, the Czechs, and U.S., the Swedes, and that could have gone either way. And then, you know, Finland, Slovakia, like, it's just amazing. Those two teams have been in the top four the last 4 years or four Olympics. You know, they may not have medaled, but they've been there. Yeah. So it just goes to show you, you know, anything can happen in those, in those short tournaments, and, you know, it gets to the knockout stage. You better show up because, a couple goals that go in quick, you're playing from behind. And, you know, thankfully we were able to see Canada, U.S., but it was close to not looking that way.
I mean, close. Canada had to run the overtime gauntlet the entire way. It's like going game seven, just to get to the Stanley Cup finals. Like, you're worn out. You played a lot of hockey. Yeah. But, you know, the U.S. had to get through Sweden. Yes, the Slovak game ended up proving, you know, obviously not as challenging at the end. I will say the first period, you know, the first 35 minutes of that game, it was 1-0. Like, that game was anybody's game for a while. So those are pressure packed minutes until it kind of opens up, right? As the game goes on, they can't withstand it. And then they ended up pulling the goalie, and that guy, it wasn't his fault. The goalie was playing great, you know, and then they ended up doing the goalie change there in the third or whatever it was when it kind of got away from him a little bit. But, you know, the fact that, again, the Czechs almost knocked Canada out in the quarterfinals. This, you know, Sweden, U.S., Quinn Hughes puts that in to get the U.S. through. Like, you could have had Swiss and the Czechs playing it out on Sunday morning, 8 a.m., and we're not having the level of conversation we're having, right? That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's how tight this tournament was, which is why I'm glad the NHL and the IIHF and the Players Association has determined you need more best-on-best opportunities. I don't want to water it down, though, because if you do it too much, like you just kind of mentioned, you're going to end up with, I don't know, who's not good this year, right? Buffalo's playing somebody else on a Tuesday night, you know, it's just not – Winnipeg, Buffalo. Buffalo on a Tuesday night in Winnipeg, like, yawn, right? No one really cares. So you don't want to water it down that bad where it becomes just old hat, right? That's what the rivalry series that Canada US women's did kind of got there. Now, that game, to deviate quickly to women's hockey, that game in the gold medal game was amazing as far as Canada had a good game plan. I'm stealing your words. You mentioned that before, held the U.S. down, like, great game. Like, U.S. had to fight for that one, came back and pulled it out. But the familiarity there kind of ramps that rivalry down. Like, there's one thing when you hate your opponent because you see them a lot. There's another thing when you see them too much and they become your buddies. So they have to watch how much they do this best on best.
Well, and I think specifically with the women, right? Like, it really wasn't much of a rivalry series over this past year. U.S. has had Canada's number, you know, just don't take my word for it. Go and take a look at the stats. And I had to point that out to some family members that, you know, that was the U.S.'s gold to lose in that gold medal match. You know, Canada definitely had a very good defensive game plan. And, you know, they scored a shorty to... They were able to hold on to that lead until 2 minutes left. And, you know, Hillary Knight with a beautiful tip. We go to overtime, 3-on-3. Both teams have to have three skaters. And, you know, there's a lot of ice out there. And, you know, you make a mistake and it's going to be quickly in the back of your net.
Well, and Canada didn't make that mistake. That move that was made. Well, she put the puck through
the
her
highlight
legs.
Move, the defenseman. Oh my goodness. She's the defenseman on the defenseman.
Like, oh, my goodness. What a move.
Haunting. That's another, you know, that's another play that's going to haunt, you know, hey, pucker body, right? You can't miss on both. Oh. And in that case, it was a hell of a move and a hell of a shot. And, you know, again, you'd rather see it end. I don't think it goes to shootout, but you know, the fact that there is the 3-on-3, I would prefer it to be 5-on-5, you know, but again, I know time is of the essence and, you know, maybe you do the first overtime 5-on-5, it's second overtime 4-on-4, and then finish 3-on-3. But
well, I'll tell you, I'm going to slightly disagree with you in the sense, and maybe it's because, you know, it's a sport and it's entertainment, and I get the purists, and I'm a purist in some instances and not, but I don't know, man. The excitement that 3-on-3 brings, the fact that it does get to an ending, like, I'm kind of at the point, and again, the purists out there are not going to agree with me. I don't want to watch 7 periods of hockey till 2 a.m. for some guy to fall on his dull skate because he's tired because he's played 180 minutes of hockey and it's some garbage turnover goal. No, if you give me 3-on-3 for 20 minutes, you know, and I've said this for a while, give me 10 minutes of 3-on-3 in the regular season. Like, we need to eliminate the shootout because that's, I don't even watch them anymore. Like, if the overtime ends and it's still 3-3, I'm like, all right, 10:30, I'm going to bed. I don't care what happens next. That's garbage. And I think the rules of shootouts, you see skaters, they almost stop. They kind of start to go backwards. Like, goals just shouldn't be allowed or being allowed. It's becoming, you know, shell hockey out there. Like, that's where I'm more of a purist. I don't care about that. That's crap to me. Give me longer 3-on-3. But, like, I don't know, 7 game, you know, I know game 7, oh, I don't want to decide a Stanley Cup and then 3-on-3 overtime, but, like, do you really want to decide it in the sixth overtime? It's 2 a.m. Like, is that any better? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's where you look at it. If it starts 5-on-5 and then it goes 4-on-4, you know, you're obviously, you're going to get more of the players into the lineup. Like, you know, when it gets to 10-minute 3-on-3, you know that there's going to be some guys that aren't touching the ice or girls that aren't touching the ice. So, you know, gives an opportunity for, you know, maybe all 4 lines to have a hero in there. But, you know, it's, again, no matter what they do, both teams have to play with it. So it's not an advantage to either one because, it, you know, 3-on-3, man, it's a lot of ice out there.
Yeah.
And you have to be, it's risk reward, right? Is it worth making, you know, trying to make that extra move or, you know, trying to make that poke check as opposed to, you know, going through the person. And
well,
that was the game winner with the U.S.
If
men's,
the U.S.
right?
doesn't poke that puck forward and it hits a leg and goes the other way.
This Canada's close to being a 2-on-0 right? The other way. It really is. And then it's just exactly what they said on the Telegraph.
Where Hellebuck probably makes a save and then makes the outlet pass and actually gets the assist on the game-winning goal, the way that game was going.
And the outlet pass is he throws it off the glove and road hockey paddles it up. But
let me ask you a question, because you were obviously, and I hate to bring up the other sore subject, you were watching the Blue Jays heavily through the baseball World Series. Did their over, because there was a few overtime games, or I'm sorry, extra inning games in the World Series. Did they do the extra, the free guy on second, or is it a certain, not at all?
They go back to the traditional ball. That's just regular season. Okay. And I mean, yeah, they had an 18 or 19 inning marathon game, right? No, it goes back to like hockey playoffs. It goes to, you know, your traditional
5, 20 minutes ice cut and all that stuff. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cause I didn't know if maybe they did like, you know, starting in the 12th or the 13th, they'll throw the extra guy on second again to try to keep the spirit of the historical game, but try to speed it up a little bit. Right. And now baseball, it goes late. I don't know. I don't think the mental mistakes in baseball, I don't think are as prevalent because you still need to execute. The problem with baseball is you run out of players. You run out of pitchers. And now again, you got the guy from third base throwing Ephus pitches out there. And it's like, okay, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Well, and that is specifically in playoffs, right? Like you got to look at, okay, well, who's going to be available the next day, specifically if you're going to go the next day.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the same could be said with playoff hockey. If you're doing a four period extra, you know, overtime, who do you have? You got to try and go with everyone. Obviously you're going to beat your top dogs a little bit more and feed them a little bit more, but you know, you also don't want to burn them out either. You know, fine line. I mean, they're pro athletes. It's conditioning. It's you only get that chance so many times, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at Dodgers, Jays, the Dodgers, I mean, they had a kid that was just unbelievable. Like, you know, he threw more pitches and innings in a row than what he's ever done. And, you know, he just was electric and, you know, he was able to deliver. You know, regular season, they're not going to do that because, you know, you want to hold until the postseason or, you know, until you clinch. And, you know, in this case, with 3-on-3, I mean, anyone gets the tap, they're going to go.
Yeah. And big players show up in big moments. And, you know, and kind of to wrap up this conversation, we don't need to break down the game. Everyone watch it. They know the game. Yeah. But there's something I do want to touch on because I think it's important. And we've talked about it a little bit off the air and I've seen things about it. But, you know, they had a Ruzioni on, Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 80 team. And USA Hockey has held on to the 80 team since 1980, right? Because that was the last time that they won gold. And it was such a monumental experience beating the Soviets in the semifinal game, don't everyone forget. And then have to go beat the Finns still to win the gold medal, which wasn't a small feat back then either. So, you know, that was still a major issue there. And generations, you know, my generation held on to that, right? And these kids, all of our kids know Miracle and they all know the story and they hold on to that. Well, now guess what? They have their own thing to hold on to.
Yeah.
Like I got to see it too, right? But my kid's 18 and your kid's 19. Like they got to see it for the first time. And now that's their team moving forward. Because, you know, I'm not going to pretend that they're going to go out and win it 4 years from now, right? Like I would be shocked if they did. I would assume Canada goes back out and wins it again, right? And you guys keep the lineage moving. So for them to have this group, and I had the TJ Oshie Olympics in, I think it was Sochi, right? 2014, when he had seven penalty shots in a row and scored on all of them and kept us moving. And he was like our hero that, you know, we didn't win the medal, but he was our hero that game. And he was the name for a while. Now these kids have, you know, my son's got Hellebuck to look up to as attendee. And you got the Jack Hughes, the photo looks like he's from 1982 with the broken tooth and the blood. Flag, like what? Iconic photo. That's gonna be on T-shirts. I'm gonna make a poster on the wall. Like that's amazing. Yep. So there's a whole new generation of hockey kids. Some of you are listening to the show. Follow us on the socials. You now have that. That's your shining star. That's your Mount Rushmore of USA Hockey now. And I think it's awesome that they have that to look up to.
Yeah, I know. You know, it just goes to show how far the game has come down here in the U.S. And it's only gonna grow the game that much more. You know. Gretzky said it when he got traded to LA, it was, you know, it was to help with growing the game and, you know, non-traditional markets. And now you've got kids that are, you know, from Arizona, from Florida, from you name it, like non-traditional northern markets that are making their name on the game forever. And it's just awesome to see. No matter what, it's good hockey, right? Like correct. You want to see a good competitive game where, you know, you could tell both teams, whoever lost that game was going to be crushed for some time. I mean, go back to 2010 when Crosby scores in overtime in Vancouver, right? It's the exact same thing, you know, that happens. And, you know, that helped grow the game that much more. In fact, that's why you've got kids now playing the Hughes brothers, right? I mean, geez, young guys that it's just dynamic to see.
Well, an Orlando-born player scores the overtime golden goal. An Orlando-born player scores the overtime Swedish goal. You know, a Arizona-born captain, you know, leads the team to victory, right? Like, to your point about the non-traditional market, their fingerprints were all over. Yeah. To some extent, you know, let's not, you know, the Hugheses didn't play in Florida for 15 years, right? And Austin Matthews didn't play in Arizona his whole life, right? So they touched the sport, they learned here. And there's a great, and we don't have time to go into it, but saw a bunch of stuff today. I didn't realize the connection with the Hugheses' mother and her story in hockey and how she broke some barriers. She went to UNH, go Wildcats. That's my alumni. So go Wildcats. But she went there, really pushed the game there, got into the coaching. She's actually a coach with the USA hockey program. Both programs. Okay. She's involved in the program. Like, dad's a coach. Like, I put a post up on after Quinn scored against Sweden that the Hugheses are the first family of USA hockey and they're the center point for years to come. I didn't realize that literally the Hugheses are USA hockey, like right now. Like, they are super involved and they are all into it. And go find your story on that and go watch it because it's awesome. And Netflix and whoever's got the money, make the documentary now because it's awesome. It's going to be a great story and it's so cool to see. But yeah, it's amazing where USA Hockey has gone to, even in the short time that you and I have been involved and you a little longer, as far as watching the evolution of what USA Hockey's done at the lower levels. And it's because of people like the Hugheses and their mother, and the work they put in. It's really incredible.
Well, it just goes with the fundamentals in the training that USA Hockey, you know, they're seeing the reaps of their rewards of truly following a path from the youth movement, right? And not trying to do too much at once and focusing on small area games and fundamentals and, you know, practices are everything. You know, practice to game ratio. They've done a really nice job. And you, again, world champions last year, the U.S., right?
Yep.
And then, you know, you're a finalist last year in the Four Nations. And then, you know, you cherry on the top, you get double gold at the Olympics this year with both the men and the women. So, yeah, USA Hockey is definitely at the top of the mountain right now. Yep. And, yeah, if you want it from them, you got to take it from them. And, you know, that just means that, you know, better luck next time. You know, it wasn't due to lack of opportunity and compete, but they have definitely found the right buttons and, you know, they've got gold to show for it.
Absolutely. So two quick fun facts, and then I'm going to prep the rest of the show. We'll move on here. But the first fun fact, I'm sure you all heard of it, right? We always talk about play where you get playing time and don't chase the letter. And Connor Hellebuck was one. They made it very clear on the show. Played a lot of double-A hockey.
Awesome.
Yeah, played double-A, didn't make a junior team, didn't play tier one, you know, went from double-A straight to Lowell, which is probably not a path you're going to find nowadays. Like, I get it. The path's a little different. However, what it shows is you can play at a high enough level. You can still find opportunities, right? And you can do it later. You don't have to go chase it at 14. You can wait till you're 18 or 19, right? So that was kind of what I took away from that. But don't discount, he wasn't just sitting there playing double A in Michigan without doing extra work. He was doing the work. He was putting the effort in. He was going above and beyond. So you have to put the work in. Yes, if you're good enough, they'll find you. I understand how that doesn't quite work in today's day and age necessarily. You have to go do a little work sometimes to bring the attention to you.
Correct. You got to self-promote. That's it. You know, that came down to, it was a monetary thing, right?
Yes.
He had a brother that played, and yeah, this is not a cheap sport. You know, talking to my brother that has three boys and hearing the cost of what it is in Canada, it's just insane. It's sad because I know there's a lot of great athletes out there that would do unbelievable in the sport, but because of the monetary constraints, you know, it makes it tough.
Yep.
And, you know, rinks are not getting cheaper. You know, ice time is not getting cheaper, unfortunately. And, you know, it would be nice to see that sort of level off, but I don't know if we will. But, you know, that his story was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It just goes to show if you really want it, and it's got to be up to the individual. Like,
always.
You know, mom and dad can't be over the shoulder pushing, hey, you need to get your, you know, your edge work in, or, you know, find something that you can do that to make yourself better without having to be pushed to do that. And, you know, I've always said, you know, it gets to the 16 and the 18U. I mean, high school becomes, you know, a little bit more distractions, and you get to see who really, really wants to improve their game and focus on improving themselves and being a better teammate versus you know, you want to go on out and do different things, and right. You know, which is okay. But that, again, it's why a very small percentage only make it to the top.
And speaking of small percentage, I'm going to get onto this point here because you're exactly right. Fun fact of the day. They talk about how in between 1960 and 1980 gold medal teams, there was 38 individuals, men on the men's side, because women have won it, right? There's the men have 38 gold medals. That's it. You add 25 from this year's roster. That makes the number like 57 or something, right? I think 57 or 67 men, whatever the number is. Very small number in all of hockey.
Yep.
Brock Nelson's on the 2026 gold medal team, won the gold on Sunday morning. His grandfather, his great uncle won it in 60. His uncle won it in 80, and he 80, won it Dave in 26. Yeah. So four members of his direct bloodline lineage hold gold medals, and there's like 60 people in America that have won a gold medal, and his family has four of them. Like,
yeah,
like that's like some, like, you know, Clinton-esque, like, American bloodline founding fathers sort of stuff. Like, that is incredible stat. That is so cool for that family.
It goes to show you back then too, difference is it was more amateur sports, right? So, you know, if you want to stay in that amateur status back then you had that as sort of the pinnacle. If you didn't have, you know, the skills, or, you know, let's be real, like, you know, 60s and then 80s, there weren't as many teams. So there wasn't as many opportunities either. So, you know, that was another avenue to go to be at the top. So crazy story, though.
It is a crazy story.
I used to have Christian sticks were awesome back in the day.
Heavy wood, up, wood sticks, I would imagine, right, Kev?
They were wood. They were nice, man. They were good ones.
Well, listen, speaking of good ones, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to turn the show into Coach's Corner, if you will. So last show and on socials, I put a call out. Basically, if you wanted to come on and take a couple minutes, we'd love to have you on, as states are upon us. That's what this is all about. States start this weekend. So today's the 23rd of February, starting the 26th, 27th. The younger age groups start, and then going into March, first weekend of March, 6th through 8th, I think, is the older age groups, which we covered them on our last show. So go back and check that out. We talked about kind of U14s or U18s a little bit. We have a couple coaches lined up. Joe Namey from Clearwater, he's coaching two teams. He's going to join us next. Coach PJ Sullivan is coming from the Crunch. And then honestly, there's a few others that are still TBD on the scheduling. It's going to be a 2-day recording for us, Kevin. And then the magic of editing is going to make it sound like one seamless episode when it's all said and done. So, come on back and listen to a couple coaches, and we will absolutely get some breakdown and some look ahead into some states teams, and get some insight on what's it going to take to raise the banner this next couple of weeks across the state of Florida. It's going to be exciting, don't you think?
It's an awesome time. For those that, you know, single A, I know it stops with the banner here in the state, and then Double A, I believe everyone moves on to a national level, right? So yeah, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, for those that that show up and are ready to go, it doesn't matter where you're slated in the standings. Everyone starts 0-0, and it's what's exciting about playoff hockey. There's always the Cinderella story, and then, you know, the story of the team that they were the wagons all year and they keep her going.
Absolutely. So take a short break. When we come back, Joe Namey from Clearwater will join us next in The Nest. All right. We are joined by Coach Joe Namey from the Clearwater Ice Storm. Coach Joe, as we'll call him for the rest of the show here, has two teams heading into states this weekend. Split up, though, as Kevin and I talked about during our last show. One team, the 10UAA team, he starts with right away this weekend coming up, the 26th, the 27th of February. And then his 16AA team kicks off the weekend later in March. So busy couple weekends, Coach. Appreciate you jumping on the show. Welcome to the Pigeon's Nest, man.
No problem. Glad to be here, guys. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So, I mean, first things first, going into states, how would you describe your, I guess you're going to have to talk about both teams, right? Yeah. So I'll give the floor to you. How would you describe your teams, and what do they each need to do to make a run?
So the it's funny, the younger guys at the end of the day, they're 10 years old. You know, they just, it's funny because my main thing within their skills group, and it's just kind of getting them to stay in love with the game and not get so stressed out, and don't rush the process. Stay in the oven as long as you can. Let's get the cooker going right for you and get you on the right steps. You know, the other group, on the other hand, a completely different element. You got high school hockey involved. You got injuries. You got sickness. You got prom. You got homecoming. You got all these other distractions. you know, and it's kind of just, you know, stay focused throughout the year, you know, live in the now. You sign up for the season, play the season out. You know, we got a lot of things coming up in Florida hockey. You know, you got the Lightning coming in with the tier one group, and not that it's a bad distraction, but for the younger ages, it's a distraction. You know, everybody wants to jump to that team and try out for this and try out for Alliance. And I'm going up north to play tier one and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you signed up for this team. You're developing. Stay and develop. Stay in the season. You know, don't quit jumping the gun here.
That's the one thing that it's such a business, right? In the sense of, yeah, you want to get your times and for the spring and for tryouts out there. But yeah, for those that are lucky enough to qualify for the state championships, like those are that, yeah, finish out what you signed up for. And, you know, the goal line is right there. And, you know, two distinct parent groups there too, right?
Oh, like, yeah, listen.
You can definitely be a little bit more stressful with the parents where it's like, you know, it's new to them and managing expectations. And, you know, for the kids, it's about the chicken fingers, friends, you know, what type of banner or what type of stickers or pens are you going to be getting? Right. And then for the older group, 16U, like that's, the big jump is the following year, right? Specifically, if you're at the senior end of that. Going into the U or if you want to expand on junior. So, you know, how has it been like preparing for states, like being able to get ice time for both teams? Because I know, you know, that's up in the air depending on how you're doing, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we kind of have been operating from the beginning of the year. We get basically 100 minutes of ice. We get two skates a week. And you got to think outside the box, the kids, with the cost of ice. Just the cost of the game in general. We do a lot of stuff with we're upstairs working with weighted pucks. There have been times where you go to a roller rink or you draw the surface and you work on your breakout and you work on all that structural play and system work outside just so you're not wasting the dollars on the ice. Just really maximizing the time and really going into the season with a structure and a plan. Like, we're here now. What do we need next? And if we're not there next, do we stay on that target to make sure the group improves? Are we bypassing? You know, in the years past, I've had some good runs through the state tournaments and this and that, and I've had some good squads and appreciate them all. And you know, my biggest thing for the younger guys is to get them kind of where they want to go. And the older guys, it's almost you turn into more of a mentor. You know, like at U16 second year, they can play the game, and you're giving tips and hints and this and that. But if they don't want to go, they don't want to go. You know what I mean? If they don't want to put it on the line, or it is what it is at that age, and you're kind of just kind of, you know, you got one hand on the wheel of the ship and one on the throttle, and you're you know, pulling levers at that point. It's really mainly for the little guys, though. You know, skating's such a big, important part of the game. It's like, when all else fails, figure out how to skate. We'll go from there.
It's that you can't do it for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't skate in the parking lot. So it's like,
you cannot skate in the parking lot. You can't skate in the parking lot, that's for sure.
I don't know. I've seen some of that cross-country practice where they're out there on their roller skis running down the street, right? So maybe there's always an opportunity to put the rollerblades on and get out there in the parking lot.
A couple weeks ago when it dipped to the 20th, I was hoping I'd get some pond ice, but not down here. No.
Yeah, the pond, the retention pond right outside CIA could have froze over. You've been all set.
I already booked my time on there. It just didn't happen. Yeah,
exactly. Don't worry. Non-refundable deposits on that ice, though.
Yeah.
So with the two different groups, like
55 minutes.
55, yeah.
let's talk about the 16 group for a minute, right? So playoff games, and especially as they get older, and my son plays junior now, and you watch the testosterone flows a little higher, that you know, and you're seeing the same teams, right? The 16 AA division is the same group, and Clearwater, we talked about in our last show, has two teams, both of the 16 AA teams.
Yeah.
Looks like they're slotted 1 and 2 going into state, so kind of top dog organization. I'm sure it's not always kumbaya within the organization across the two teams. Usually, maybe you have a different experience, but they're out there battling, I'm sure, right? So how are you going to manage the age of testosterone, the maturity, the fight, the full out just want to rip their face off emotion of playoffs while trying to have them stay, you know, grounded and within the system?
It really kind of comes from the top, who's leading the ship. And, you know, I've known Chase Bafia, the 2010 coach, for a long time. We're pretty close. The boys kind of feed off that. You know, neither one of us are hooting, hollering, yelling, calling out numbers from the bench. We do train together here and there throughout the season. We try not to schedule tournaments together to keep them not playing against each other all the time. And they went in as a 15 group. They've been very successful. But for the most part, the players themselves understand what logo is on their jersey. And And we had played them in regular season. I believe there was one penalty called and it was questionable for a tripping, which is pretty extreme for a U16 game. So it all stems down from the top. If you got control over your group, you're good to go. If you don't, look out, you're gonna have 40 really upset parents. Really upset parents.
So is the other team there? They're the minors, and then you've got a mix of major and minors. Yeah. And was no, there so, any? Yeah, so
my group is all 09 birth year. His group is okay. All 2010 birth year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know we tried to do that a couple of different times. And, you know, what happens is people end up, you know, going elsewhere or, you know, like out of state. And, you know, you're sort of patching the roster together then. But to be able to do a minor and major is, I think it's important. I think it's, you know, you can really, really grow both with that experience. But again, that's going to come down to parents being okay with that too. Well, you know,
that's the tough part is, I mean, you guys know the climate of Florida. You got kids that are playing first year peewee with three different jerseys in their closet already.
Correct.
Right.
Stick to the process. You know, the coaches know best until your kid doesn't make a team or he makes a team, you know, and then it's up to you to go drive them 100 miles to go to another rink to try out again. But
yeah, yes,
you know,
yes, I know.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I've got a couple of these guys, especially with my 09 group, that I coached back at Squirt, three or four of them. And it came a time in their hockey career they needed to hear a different voice. And I kind of said, you know, time to go here for a little bit. And I picked them up 14 AA a year. I picked up the majority back again. And then we kind of, you know the deal. You add, delete, kids move in the area, kids move out of the area. And then I've had some kids that were ready to go on and play prep hockey that I've said, hey, listen, you're ready to go. Or they've told me, hey, I'm ready to go. And you go through the, you know, hey, what's your room look like? What do your grades look like? Mom and dad, are they respectful at home? Are they getting into trouble? Can they survive on their own in that environment? Yeah, it's time for them to go. I've also had the kids that are like, yeah, grades are horrible. This is horrible. They're, you know, doing the not good choices. And it's like, let's stay local for a little bit. You know, don't leave yet.
Structure might be a little bit better if you stick, stick it out.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So Joe, talk to your 10U team, right? Like I'm sure your 10U team parents, when they find out you came on, you know, probably throw this on in the car, maybe on the way to the rink, or, you know, let the kids hear Coach Joe, you know, talk about the team, like talk to your team, kind of pump their tires going into states. Like, what, you know, what's the message kind of going to be in the room? Like, maybe give us a sneak peek, like get us ready to go play some 10U states hockey.
So, you know, the most part with that group, I don't really deviate from the structure from the beginning of the year. Like, you know, as a coach in tryouts, what kind of team you got, and it's your job to kind of develop what you have, not create some harebrained, you know, NHL type structure with a 10U team. You know, it's, you know, teach, coach, train, develop what you got. The big thing with those guys is feet stay moving and we move a puck like crazy. Stay within your structure and simplify. When the game gets out of control, you know, there's a couple things I can't share with you because, you know, you may have some other coaches watching I got to play against a couple weeks. But there's a couple things I go back to where it really kind of just re-engages them back into playing simple, structured hockey, moving the puck. And it kind of reels everybody back in.
Don't let the moment get too big, right? That's really fundamentals with both groups.
I mean, you can't, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and it starts game one, shift one, right?
Yep.
Like, and then you go from there. Don't look ahead. Just, you know, look to your next shift and have fun with it.
Yeah. When you're in the quicksand and you're struggling through and you can't catch a pass at score and you can't, you know, receive or you can't hit the net. Focus on making the next good play. Focus on, you know, being the first F1 on that forecheck and cutting that ice on a 1-2-2. Like, cut it down to the bare minimum. And then on the coaching side of it, making sure the rest of the staff knows when that kid comes in, you're pumping his tires. Letting them know, hey, that's great effort. Let's go do that again. Hey, let's add this. Hey, let's delete that. Let's add more of this. Let them be 10. Let them go have fun.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, they're little guys.
Have fun with it and trust in the training that you had throughout the season, right?
Exactly.
Like that's the big thing there. And you know, it's and for the parents, again, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride.
Enjoy
it doesn't matter, you know, everyone wants to win, but at the end of the day, win or lose, it's about the experience. And you know,
I just had that
returning.
We were up in Wisconsin for a tournament and I don't like to travel heavy with the younger guys. If you got a good 10U team and you want some competition, go play a peewee team. They're going to give you all you need. And, one time a year we'll go out of state or maybe twice a year for something fun. And we were up in Wisconsin and I got them in an outdoor game and it was a legit outdoor game. No roof, no nothing. It was at 9:30, so the photo, everybody's kind of squinting in the camera with the sun coming off the ice. But 10 years from now, those kids aren't going to remember winning or losing. They're going to remember the outdoor game and how fun it was. Or the fact that it was 61 degrees in Wyoming or in Wisconsin, in the middle of February. You know, that's the main thing with that age group. Like, let them go have fun. Let them go experience the game. Fall in love with the game.
Well, Joe, it sounds like depending whether you're talking 10U or 16U, it's the same answer, right? It's the same. What's it going to take for this weekend, right? It's the same answer. You talked about the 10U simplifying, going back to the fundamentals, staying in the structure. That's the same thing your 16s have to do, right?
So,
It's the same, you know, the what is it going to take this weekend? You answer that question, you know, without even asking. It's exactly what you just laid out there. So it's an incredible, you know, first of all, thank you for stepping up coaching two organizations, putting your desire and love and passion of the sport back into the sport in the area. Without guys like you, it doesn't work. So thank you for that.
Thank you. No problem.
You've been doing
it
for a while, Joe. I mean, hats off to you, man, because it's, you know, for all those coaches in the stands, right? Feel free to sign up and help out when needed.
Exactly.
It's time and effort, and the kids, you know, you give them the experience of a lifetime, and, you know, exciting that you guys, you know, both teams are in states, because those are the memories that they'll take with them. You know, they'll build off of, you know, however they do during this final weekend, you know, moving forward. And it's a win-win no matter what.
Exactly.
Where are the states at for both?
We're in Jacksonville for the fifth time this year with Squirt. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Built that schedule. Wow. Just kidding.
Wow. And they're making up for lost time, not having many teams. Yeah.
And then we'll be down in Estero with the 16s.
Okay.
Yeah.
14, so 16, that one's 18, not too bad. Yeah.
No. Yeah. A couple hour drive down 75. No big deal.
Did you have many 16 kids play in the state tournament this past weekend in high school at all?
Six of them did.
Okay.
That's
clean bill of health, I hope.
So we've been fighting the flu for the past month and a half. It kind of went around the locker room twice. Then a couple injuries here and there throughout the season. And I'm not running big numbers with that group. I'm running 9, 6, and 2. So it's like,
okay,
you know, one guy goes down with a flu, and all of a sudden you're skating with 13 the next week. It's tough, and it's a very, very competitive league this year.
There's
eight going, and you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. Any given moment, a goalie can steal a game. I mean, it's Florida hockey, and I love our referees, but a referee can steal a game for you or cost you a game. I mean, it is what it is. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah,
and it's gonna take not just some solid structure, but a little bit of puck luck. You know. A little bit of puck luck to get through all the way.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you, Joe, to both your organizations or both your teams within the organization.
And
to all the organizations out there this weekend that start up. Best of luck to you. We wish you nothing but the best. And we'll be following along. I will not be in Jacksonville to watch you in person, but I will be.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I appreciate the support, guys.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Joe. Good seeing you, man.
Take care, everyone. Good luck. Good luck. We'll see you soon.
Awesome.
Perfect. Welcome back. We are joined now by Coach Kenny Kohler of the Florida Warriors 12UA Orange Team. As we know, States is here. Everything is changing. The season's getting tighter, and it comes down to 1 week in a hockey. So, Coach, before we get into it, man, just thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Pigeon's Nest.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, let's get right into it, man. What was the season like? Where's your positioning going into States? And kind of how would you describe where your team is right now?
Yeah, so we landed in sixth place going into States. One of those stories where we were sitting in last place for months at the beginning of the season. So definitely turned things around. We did have two players that left us right before Sahal season started. So we were running a short roster right off the bat. So we had 10 players to start, and then we lost two. So we actually had 8 players for 2 months there.
Holy.
Yeah. So it was definitely something that we had to overcome as a team. We ended up finding another player 2 months into it. So we're rolling 9 right now, currently going into States. But we ended up doing it. We learned systems and line changes, and we just dealt with all the, you know, what we had to.
I got to ask you before Kevin, I know you got a question, but I got to follow up. How does one line 9 skaters? Like, what is your, you know, you're running, you know, 3-2 and two, like, what are you running for lines at that number?
Yeah. So we got two lines of forwards, and we're rotating out 3D currently. It's worked for us. And I think with endurance and everything throughout the season of rolling even eight and the way we have to run practices, we make it work. So,
yeah, you know, for the kids that, you know, stuck it out, I mean, the benefit of one learning to play every position, specifically at 12U, it's just so important. And two, man, that's not a bad deal for you, because if there's parents complaining about ice time, then, you know.
No one's complaining about ice time.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Yeah.
How many goalies? How many goalies do you have?
Yeah, we have one current.
Yeah, so having one goalie, if you had two, then, you know, obviously that's when you try to get another set of out gear. And, you know, that second goalie could be lining the blue or you're plugging up and down the wing type of deal. But
yeah,
no, that's awesome. Did with the couple that left, were they leaving the area? Or was it one of those things?
What ended up happening is we had two different scenarios happen. So we had a player that was with us, ended up moving to North Carolina 2 weeks prior to the season started. And then we had a player from Iowa who eventually did end up moving, but not until they were supposed to come before season started. Didn't end up joining the team until December.
Okay.
So we had a late entry there on that one. So we thought we had 10 going in, and then we ended up rolling eight.
So not enough games to be eligible then for Lee Sahoff coming in at December.
Yeah, no, coming in because we did still had a tournament, and then we got enough Sahoff games in, so he will be a part of our states.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you ever look at, you know, adding anyone throughout the year or how?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we, so it's in our area. It's, there's not, so with all the teams that we have in our area, there just wasn't a lot after tryouts. So it was a little challenge trying to find players, but we were on the hunt for a while trying to find players. It was just a little tough, especially playing in 12U8 Orange. It's got to be, you know, we try to make the right fit, what's best for the kid in the program. So, but it ended up working out.
Well, good. And that Orange division was looking at the standings, you know, saw you kind of finish there in the middle of the pack. And based on how you started, that's a good outcome. Notice that Jacksonville is at the top of that division, 12-0-2. And then I think it was the Crunch. I don't have it up in front of me. Finished fairly highly up there. I want to say it was a Crunch. I could be wrong. But there's some talent in that division as far as teams that are kind of at the top and you guys in the middle. You know, what is it going to take? You know, what's the message to the boys going into states? And we I'll preface this by saying Kevin and I's last year together, we were like you guys, we were the seventh seed going in, and we beat the number one seed in our first game out, right? Like absolutely, you know, rocked their world game one. And I mean, 5-4, like, but we turned it upside down and made them really reevaluate, and they ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah,
we didn't get out of the round robin. No fault of our own. Tiebreakers didn't go our way, right? But
yeah,
the boys believe is what I'm getting at. The boys believe they went in, they had something to play for. They knew they had a chance. I'm guessing that's what you're telling your boys too. But kind of, what's the message going into the weekend as far as the pressure of what's about to come?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think at the end of the season, we're kind of on a roll. So I think our team atmosphere and connection has been at an all-time high throughout the season. I think we finished off the season 15-2 in our last 17 games. So we are just kind of, we're rolling right now. I just hope that, you know, we roll that into the states. And my biggest thing from the beginning of the year has always been attitude and effort. Like, be a good teammate, bring all your effort, and then the X's and O's I can show you. But I think if you bring those two things, everything else connects. So as of right now, just go in there, support one another, trust the training, and play loose. Like, let's just keep it rolling.
Loose is such a key thing, right? Don't grip it, you know. Yeah. Don't let the moment get bigger than what, you know, than what it is. It's just another hockey game. And, you know, in any game, everyone's going to make mistakes, right? It's the ones that have amnesia and learn from it and bounce back real quick. So, no, that's exciting. Who are you kicking off Sahoff with, and what's the record against that team?
So we play against the Blades as our first game, and then we have the Ice Storm and then the Icemen. Playing the Blades, we've only played once. Again, that was kind of like in the middle, beginning of the season. We are definitely in a different place right now of where we were at the beginning of the season. So I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of these teams that we haven't played in a while. I think it'll definitely be a different game playing going to states.
No, that's, I mean, 100%, right? It's hard to beat a team twice, three times in a season, right? You hear all the kind of all the phrases that go into that, and it takes the effort. And sometimes the team that lost the first game has the advantage because they're the underdog mentality, right? And it sounds like you guys, based on what you said, have a little bit of that in you, which is always personally where I'd rather be. We,
again, I told you about being the number 7 seed. We also went in as the number 1 seed. We didn't win that year either. So, you know, when you go in thinking you're the top dog, sometimes they don't maybe try as hard or put the effort in where it needs to be, or maybe do the X's and O's quite right, right? So it's good to be the underdog, but without giving too much away, you know, because I'm sure all the other organizations are listening to us. You know, hopefully they're tuning in and listening in, of course. So don't give away the X's and O's too much, but you know, with 9 skaters, 10 skaters, what is kind of your game plan? Are you a defensive heavy team that generates off the end zone? Are you a push it up the ice type of team? Like, film's out there, the guys can watch, right? It's not like you're sharing too many secrets, but what does it look like for y'all?
Listen, for us, I think the big thing is puck movement and speed. Like, that's what we push, a lot of teamwork. We got a really strong, I think we're strong all over the place, but I just think our speed and our puck movements just has gone from the beginning of the season to now. It doesn't even look like the same teams. And that's about it. And I think we've just been successful that way.
So going into like philosophies as far as practices go, you know, I'm not as familiar with the Skadium. Like, are you getting a full hour of ice? Have they cut it down to 55 minutes or to 50 minutes
We have 2 50-minute practices. We have a half sheet and then a full sheet. So we got our full sheet. We can work our systems. Typically how I run it is, you know, our full sheet of 50-minute practice. It's mainly all system work, neutral zone regroups, breaking out, zone entries, defensive zone coverage. We go over all that during our, and then our half ice. We still work a little bit of it. We can do zone entries and whatnot in there. And then we kind of work on our skill stuff also on that half sheet.
Now that rink also has, they've got the roller and the basketball.
Correct.
Nets on the other side. Are you able to utilize that as well? Is that part of the program's, you know, do you have access to that?
We do have access to it. So the rink is actually very supportive of, we use the gym. They have a full exercise gym there. They have the roller rink. They have a ballet room. We have video room. So we utilize everything that we can over there. Absolutely. So before our practices, we usually meet an hour before, and we utilize that time to either do off-ice training, video review, stick handling and shooting in the off-ice. So we do try to take advantage of everything that they do offer there.
That's awesome to have that much in one place and be able to utilize it and have the buy-in from the parents and the kids to show up and put the effort in and actually give it the effort, right? And not just kind of, you know, mess around, but treat it as usable time. So, you know, we tried that with film and a lot of other things too. And when it works great. You know, we had a lot of success at the older ages with some mental performance coaching, some film review, you know, we would quiz the kids on which hands stick their teammates were, right? Like Kevin's a big proponent of knowing your team to know where to put the puck and where to, you know, help your teammate out. And we use that time to help train them and develop them. So I feel like that's all very, very important for sure on growing the team. What you got, Kev?
No, I was going to say, I mean, and the fact that the rink is giving you buy-in and you're able to utilize the facilities there, I know that's a challenge with some organizations, right? Like the ownerships are not as forthcoming with providing access to the kids. And at the end of the day, it's for the best for the kids, right? As long as they're using it and not destroying it, then, you know, why wouldn't you want them to get better on that? All of you, it's a pivotal year. You know, things start to change. Are you seeing a bunch of your kids? Are they starting to do things on their own at home? Versus just doing it during the 2, you know, sets of practices that you have.
Listen, I have a great group of kids and families. I think this is one of those years where these kids are just so into it. I think especially after growing from the beginning of the year into where we're at now, they have definitely taken, like, they'll call me and text me. Parents will, like, hey, 100 shots today. Check it out. You know, they're in it. You know, these kids are in it. They're doing skating lessons, and they make sure they let me know that they're out there. They're working hard. They're doing all the extras. You know, it's you know, as long as you, you know, recognize that, and they love it. You know, it's. I think the culture and the atmosphere too of what a team sets creates more that the kids want to do more. So I think that atmosphere of where we're at right now as a team, these kids want more and they're looking for it. And as long as the rink and myself and the parents, I all give it to them, they're, you know, the sky's the limit for them.
No, absolutely.
Hold on to them, man. Again, it's you get a good set of parents and kids, then that's the nucleus, right? And, you know, as seasons come and go, that nucleus stays the same, and you know, they end up becoming sort of the drill sergeants within the room as to this is how we do things here. So that's awesome. That's exciting to hear.
Go ahead.
I just want to add on just a little bit to that, because at the beginning of the season we were losing a lot, and it's really tough to really keep a team together and parents to understand the process and the training. I know it's kind of a little bit cheesy, like, you know, trust in the process, trust the training. It'll come through. And then eventually finally seeing it at the end. It was been a very supportive year for the parents, which I needed in the beginning, especially when things were a little tough.
I've seen it the other way, where success comes really early and that can derail a team rather quickly, where, you know, expectations from the parents or, you know, kids expect to win everything. It's such a delicate balance.
Yeah.
But to hear a season where it didn't start off on, you know, maybe on the top foot, but you're heading in at a good spot, and that's exciting. I can't wait to hear how you guys make out.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So last question from us, and then we'll let you go. Yep. Appreciate it. But, you know, the kids are going to tune in. Parents are going to tune in real quick and show it on the car when they're put it on the car when they're driving to the rink. You know, they want to hear Coach Kenny on the podcast and talk about what the team's going to do and how awesome they are. So, you know, kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. You know, give us the coach Herb Brooks pregame game one kind of locker room speech. Like, what's the messaging going to sound like to the team going into the first game?
Yeah. Listen, I all my speeches, I'm going to sound like a broken record every speech. It's like, just go out there and you guys have got to want it. Like, you guys got to want to put in all the effort and then trust the training. Like, you guys know what to do. You just go out there and play and then be supportive of one another. I think those are the three things that I had maybe even said earlier, but be good teammates and you guys got to go out there and want it. You guys go out there and want it and effort, it's going to take you a lot of ways. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So true.
Absolutely. So true. Well, where is States for your division this weekend?
So we got to take the hike to Jacksonville.
We're coming
from Naples, from Arizona. So
we're in Jacksonville. Oh. Yeah.
Go so. Right by Clearwater, right by Wesley Chapel.
Yeah, we'll drive by all the ranks waving. But yeah. So we had a pretty good schedule this year. So a lot of local games. But yeah, we got to make the trip to Jacksonville this year.
I will say Jacksonville's come around. That rink is a nice rink now, though. Yeah. So way back in the day, it was not.
Oh yeah.
So they've done a nice job, but yeah, that is you're at the top of the state. So.
Yeah. This is my second year there in a row, so I'll make the show. Yeah.
Well, Coach, listen to you and your team. Best of luck to you and the Warriors this weekend. Absolutely. You know, you guys earned your chance to go to States. You earned your way in. Continue to play that same way. Sounds like you had a great culture building there. And Kevin and I talk a lot about the peripheral of the sport. X's and O's are one thing. You said it as yourself. I can teach you X's and O's, but I need you to buy in and believe. And sounds like you're doing that with your group. So from us to you, we will not be in Jacksonville, but we will be paying attention to the score sheets.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I may, my daughter's on the Florida Lions. Can I give them a quick shout out real
quick? Please do. Yeah. Actually,
absolutely.
So funny you bridge that gap. We actually have been talking to Coach Sean via email. Okay. We're going to get Sean on probably a longer form interview. We're going to actually try to cram him in on this show, but we've had a few States coaches come on like yourself. So we're going to push him back to next week and maybe even get a player or two on with. So maybe we can get your daughter on at some point next week and talk. But yeah, please do, because I want to give them a lot of kudos. So have at it.
Hey, listen, Florida Lions, 12U girls, Kiwi Quebec champs. So super proud of them.
Awesome. Awesome. It's incredible. Amazing. It is amazing. That's a great tournament.
How far the game has come, and to see the success that those young ladies had, and, you know, it's only going to fuel the fire considering, the success that USA Hockey had over in Italy. And, you know, it's exciting for our sport. Hopefully we can get more rinks that are not so spread apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be the ideal.
And there was an overtime. Was there an overtime game in the mix for
them? So semifinals went into OT, 3v3. I believe it was about 5 minutes in. We popped one in. A little two-on-one action.
3v3 right there. Some white knuckling, I'm sure, right?
It was a great game. The whole tournament won. Like, it was a tight tournament the whole way. Yeah. Drew.
Who did they beat?
Where were they from? Switzerland.
From Swiss. Okay. Very cool. All right.
Yeah, we had, and I don't have it up, and I'm not going to look for it right now, but we had one of your parents started to DM the page from Quebec as you guys got through the quarterfinals,
really?
And really became my source and sent me all the photos came directly from him.
Awesome.
He sent me the video of the GWG. So I had a reporter on the ground, and basically, you know, I was living through him. I could feel the excitement that he had for what was happening. And I tried my best to get it out on the socials as fast as I could, as fast as it came in. I was trying to share it and get it out.
Awesome.
And a lot of interaction from the community. Some of our highest views, ratings, and clicks was because of that content. So we got it to a lot of the corners of Florida to make sure everyone's aware. And like I said, we're going to definitely get Coach Sean and hopefully a couple of players on next week and give them the time they deserve and hear all about it, because I've been to that tournament. Sully got to play in the BSR, which is the sister brother tournament to the queue up there. We were in the Videotron Center watching some games, and the Florida Lions men's team, boys teams have had a
few deep runs, but never obviously as deep as this. So it is amazing what they did. And to be, we were talking about it earlier with one of the segments where it's not just, you know, we're Florida, but yeah. Team Switzerland is there and Team Finland is there. Like these whole countries send one team. It is truly their best. And yeah. You know, you're not only competing, but beating. So I think that's awesome. So yes, congrats to your daughter and the entire rest of the team, because that is amazing.
Yep. Great job, girls. Appreciate it. Thanks, boys.
That is fantastic. Absolutely. Good absolutely. Luck.
Good
congrats.
Luck, coach. And good luck to your, congrats to your daughter. Good luck to the team. And, you know, when you bring the banner home, we'll have you back on.
Awesome. Yeah,
we'll be good. Watching.
I love it. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Thanks, Kenny.
We are joined by 12U Crunch coach PJ Sullivan. PJ coaches in the black division of the 12U age group, and he coaches a 2014 Pure team, which, again, talking to other coaches, I love the fact that more organizations are going to the split Pure age groups. It helps for nucleus, it helps for team growth, helps for development, all those things, which we're going to talk to PJ about. But starting off, first of all, congratulations on a great season, number one in the division, and welcome to the Pigeon's Nest.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it's been an awesome year, a lot of fun so far, so we're ready.
Absolutely. So talk to us about how the year went. How did you get to number one, and where is the team right now as you get ready for this weekend?
Yeah, it's been a really weird year. A lot of fun though. I think Seehoff, to their credit, did a really, really great job this year of getting our division, at least our division, obviously I can only speak to that, but any game, really any team could have won. I mean, we had three ties. Two of those ties were to teams that are outside of the playoffs. You know, our only loss is to the 5 seed, I want to say. You know, we kind of went through seeds 2 through 4. And, you know, I mean, but there were some close games. I mean, you know, if you go back and look, a majority of the games are 3-2, 2-1, you know, very, very tight. So, I mean, being the top seed is great, right? I mean, that's what everyone is trying to attain going in to playoffs. But I mean, it is, when I say it's open, I mean, it is open. We have a team that we play on the first couple rounds. We played in a tournament 4 weeks ago, and we tied them, you know? So, I mean, there is truly any team. I mean, you know, I don't think there's going to be any easy games, especially, you know, these kids are, you know, 12, right? So, as we know, anything can happen on any game, but you know, we just keep to our plan and, you know, kind of hustle through, I guess.
Yeah. You know, we've been there at the bottom, squeaking in last weekend to qualify for states. And then, you know, we've been at the top of the mountain going in. Yeah. You probably heard it before, but, you know, you get to Seehoff, everyone starts 0-0. And if the team isn't ready, or if a team looks to take someone a little bit too lightly, that could be disastrous, because that first game means a lot. You know, if you can come out of the gate with a W, you know, you're ahead of the game, and, you know, you're starting, the mojo's going the right way, as opposed to trying to fight that uphill battle. Yep. You know, what's nice is when I hear parity within the league, and, you know, teams have been close. It's not necessarily just blowouts. Hopefully that'll lead to good close competition. And, you know, at that point, the teams that execute and are ready are the ones that'll continue to move on.
Yeah, you know, and the team, we just got back this past week. We were out in Provo. So we were out there for a tournament. We ended up in the championship game, came up a tiny bit short, you know. So after the game, you know, they're obviously all upset. And so kind of our message from the coaching staff to the boys was, you know, hey, as of right now, take inventory of how this feels. Pay attention to how you feel and how upset you are. And is there a play that you could have gone a little bit harder? Is there a shift that you took off, right? Did you make a play that was maybe kind of, you were more interested in seeing your own name on the score sheet, right? So kind of go back through the game and think about the stuff that, you know, you've been taught how to do, that the coaches have been asking you to do, or maybe you said, you know what, I'm not going to do that on this shift, right? And now think about the games when you do all the stuff that the coaching staff has taught you how to do, and, you know, it's kind of the expectations of the team, and think about how all of those games go. So that's kind of been our theme all year, is sticking to the script, right? It took us a long time to kind of learn our team's identity, right? You get some teams where they're all about speed and finesse, and other teams are, you know, throwing it in the corners and got to grind it out. The example we've used all year before practices, after games, has been Oilers and Panthers. Two totally opposite teams in how they play, right? Oilers are speed, finesse, we're going to outskill you, you know, and then you, you know, got, you know, a Sam Bennett, a Tkachuk that's going to throw the puck in the corner and just put you through the wall, and then they're going to take two or three shots and just pound in greasy goals, right? So when those teams try to play the other team's game, they don't stand a chance. So that's what we've kind of been harping is, you guys know the type of team you are. You know how to play your game. We really only get severely outplayed when we try to play the other team's game. And so that's kind of been what we've been harping on the last few weeks is, we're not the go super fast, outskill you team. We are the throw it in front of the net, crash the net, you need a screen, pound in rebounds, right? You know, trying to explain to these kids that are, you know, 10 or 11 years old, you guys aren't going top corner, you know, a bar down from the point. You're not, okay? So stop doing that crap. Throw the puck on net, crash the net, shoot, follow your shot, go to the net. You know, if you want money, you go to the bank. If you want goals, you go to the goal, right? So that's kind of what we've been doing is, you know, as long as you guys stay in the system and trust what you should do, you're going to be fine. You can beat anyone. You know, when you get pulled into these other kind of little, you know, all we call them side quests, right? You know, all the kids understand that from, you know, on the video games and stuff. I'm like, when you guys get pulled into those,
right?
Everything starts to go off the rails. You know, you got to just play the game, man. You know,
all I hear, PJ, you have the team that's built for the playoffs. You got to get greasy. Finesse doesn't get it done unless you have a ton of finesse guys. But at the end of the day, I mean, look at all the goals that were scored in the tight games in the Olympics or in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're not seeing, you know, the dipsy doodles. It's traffic in front, shoot it off the pads, get a rebound, you know. Yeah, I used to have many a times I'd almost blow my top with some of these kids that want the stammer shot or the OV shot. And I'm like, you're not there, you know. Now,
what we've been really kind of harping on all year is the team that controls the puck wins the game almost every time, right? And you hear this when, you know, you have games on all the time. It's, I cannot believe, you know, all the Lightning had the puck a majority of the game and somehow had lost the game. Like, that's an anomaly. Whoever controls the puck more wins. So we have a little phrase on our team that we've used all year, and it's play fast, don't play in a hurry. And what we mean by that is, if the ice is there, go. If the ice isn't there, don't force it, right? These kids are taught from the time that they're 6 or 7 or 8 years old of, when you get the puck, go to the net, right? They're taught just head north every single time. And we spent a lot of time all year as, guys, sometimes it's not there. Sometimes you got to curl back. You got to find the open ice, find the good ice, go back to your defense. They know how to pass and stick handle, right? So you have these forwards that are like, okay, I got the puck. The objective is score the goal. And so we tried to break that of, no, the objective is keep the puck. Keep the puck. When you get the puck, just hold on to it for as long as you can. If you only score one goal, but you have the puck the whole game, you're still winning. Right? You know, so if you are reliant on scoring 5 or 6 or 7 goals a game to win, you're in trouble. Because if that offense dries up for one game, you're not winning. So, you know, when we were going through tryouts and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of stuff as the coach I paid attention to, right? Who are the back checkers? Who are the guys in tryouts? Who are my wingers coming down, helping out in the high slot, right? Who are the wingers on the boards that are there for a breakout pass in a scrimmage? Because those kids, they get it. They understand the entire game, that it's not just, you know, who has more skill. So we've really been harping on that is, you guys, if we only allow a goal or two, we are going to be okay, right? We're going to win a lot of games. So we don't score a ton, but we don't allow anything. I mean, in Seehoff games, I don't think we allowed over 3 goals in any single game. So, you know, we just don't allow a lot. Everything, we force all the guys wide, right? We kind of stay in the middle, right? Our defense, we tell them in front of the net, we're not screwing with the puck, just off to the boards, right? Clear it out, go hunt it down later. So that's kind of our team identity, I guess, is we win a lot of 2-1 games, 3-1 games. We're not winning games 8-7, right? We're not built that way. So as long as our goalies can kind of stay in position, they're seeing shots from 20 feet away, you know, or 30 feet away. They're not getting beat clean on those. They're just not, right? So as long as we can do that, keep guys out of the crease, out of the slot, you know, offense is going to come if it's going to come. But at the very least, we're going to be in every single game. And that's really, you know, all Kevin I can ask out of my kids is, you know, try to keep your team in the game.
Well, that's exactly. And I was just saying, Kevin is going to lather himself in pure Canadian maple syrup and listen to this all over the place, because you are literally like from the Kevin Trussler Saban tree of coaching, like Claude Julien and the Bruins. We want to win every game 1-1. Like,
yeah.
Holy moly, Kevin, how do you love this?
You build from the back end out, right? And good defense leads to good offense. And PJ, it's funny because I used to say, you know, at the earlier years, the kids would look at me like I had two heads, right? We go up 1-0 and I'd be like, guys, we don't need to score any more goals. And just like silence, right? I go, now that doesn't mean that we're not going to score any more goals. But I'm going to tell you, like, as the game goes on and, you know, the clock starts ticking down, they are going to take a lot more risks. And if our positioning is where it needs to be, that's going to lead to odd man rushes going the other way. You know, it's teaching, you know, teaching them the game in the sense of like what to do in certain games. The risk reward is not worth it with trying to do a dipsy doodle toll drag from the blue line where you get your pocket picked. You know, if no one's there, then chip it in behind them and go and get it.
I could not agree more, man.
There are a lot of kids that I know that they felt I took away creativity. You know, there was a lot that understood that. And as they get better and they trust one another and they realize that, you know, if you are a skilled player and you're a 200-foot player, like you're going to get a lot more opportunities. And yep. And that means, you know, if being aware, if you've got a D that is able to jump into the rush, I was always big on activating D, but that means, you know, forward has to be head on a swivel and realize that I got to cover, you know.
Yeah,
you know, like with the Russians, right? Five-man unit. You don't necessarily have a position, even though you do. But when everyone is moving in the right ways, it's just magical, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I love it. You know, with these kids, you know, you got to find all different ways to kind of get through to them. For me, kind of my approach has always been, you know, when we teach a concept to our defense, we try to flip it around and go, okay, forwards, now I'm not the only coach that's out here telling, you know, our defense to do this. So if you see this on the other side of the coin, how do you handle that, right? An example you know, you get these forwards that are coming down wide, and that's great. And then you get a defense that really, you know, does a great job on the gap at the blue line, and these guys will still try to go around a defender at the blue line. And I go, you know, guys, just on math, would you rather have their turnover 200 feet from your zone or 160 feet from your net? If you're going to have turnovers, you want to have them have to go 200 feet to beat you, right? And so let's get a hard forechecker. Let's get, you know, F2 on the boards, F3 at the blue line. Have your strong side D a little bit closer, your weak side D a little bit, you know, back a little bit, or however, you know, you guys are going to run it. But you want that other team to have to beat you 3, 4, 5 times just to get a shot on goal, right? So when we have, you know, our layers and we're executing the way that we can execute, you're not going to beat us 4 or 5 times in a row, right? You may beat us once, you know, but then you got 2 or 3 guys behind them, and everyone knows the job is between the blue lines, you're going to jump up. Right. And then, you know, in our zone, you're going to stay tight in the middle and keep everything wide. So when the whole team buys into our system and does just the simple, I just tell them, play simple hockey. When you guys get too fancy and care about all that kind of stuff, you're going to lose. Play simple hockey, keep the other team wide, throw the puck on net, crush the net. Do that over and over and over again, you're going to win a lot of games.
Well, I've asked every coach that's come on this question. It's kind of the final question we ask everybody. You've kind of explained it, but I'll ask it to you anyway in case there's anything else. You know, your team, your players are going to join, are going to listen in. Your parents are going to put it on in the car on the way to practice. They want to hear Coach PJ, you know, talk about them and talk about the team and how good they are and what they're going to do at state. So, you know, bring us inside the Herb Brooks, the PJ Brooks of the locker room. What are you telling the team that is number one, that has the target on their back? What are you telling them going into game one to kind of get off on the right foot and play that way all weekend?
We started this before our practice last night, actually. I called all of our parents, all of the players in their room, and we had a end of the season pre-playoff team kumbaya session. I don't call it a meeting. It's just, you know, I wanted to get some stuff off my chest. I want to make sure everyone's on the same page with understanding and all of that. For me, I explained that I played competitive hockey my whole life growing up. I piggyback off of our tournament. I said I probably played in 40 plus tournaments. Couldn't tell you anything about them. I couldn't tell you how many I won. I have no idea. But I can tell you this, when I was a junior in high school, we won our state championship, and I could probably say all the names on that roster, okay? So I wanted them to not take for granted the opportunity that they have here. Just earning a spot playoffs is great. Earning the spot as the top seed with a real shot of bringing home a banner is extremely rare. And so enjoy the moment, have fun. Kids, just do what you've done all year long. This past week or the whole week going up into states, practices were fun and light. We did, you know, we called it our fan faves. So I just went out on the ice, said, you know, hey, Colton, I need a drill. Your favorite drill all year long. And we did that drill. Okay, great. 12 minutes, on to the next kid. Hey, Easton, how about you? I need your favorite drill all year long. The kids had a blast. I've never seen them skate so hard, right? They were just having a blast. They're light. They're all, you know, high-fiving and fist-bumping. So we're going to do that again, you know, on Wednesday, going light and easy. And then once all the kids left, you know, me and the parents had a conversation where it was more of, there's a lot of eyes on this team, right? A lot of people are watching. We got big targets on our back. Everyone would love to take down, you know, any top seed, right? I get it. I've been on the other side also, right? And that's the goal, right, is beat that top seed, take them out. And so I talked to the parents and I said, going to the rink, coming from the rink, no hockey talk, none, okay? Because from the minute those kids are in the rink until after the game, that's all that they are going to have on their minds. That is 2.5 hours times five where they are solely focused on hockey. That is 10 hours out of 2 days, right? Almost, 20% of their time, they're going to be so zoned in on these games. Don't make it any more hours, right? So anything you come off the ice, if you're not happy with your kid's ice time or whatever, we need the parents to be cheerleaders, not coaches. Don't coach your kids. That's what I'm doing, okay? So when they come off the ice, it doesn't matter if they played half the game or if they played three shifts. Great job, bud. Great win. We're going to go get them. So this needs to be team first. Don't be concerned about your kid's ice time. Be concerned about the team. And that is a very valuable thing for parents to teach their kids. We kind of went through, you know, some examples. You're going to have jobs. You're going to have teams. You're going to have things where you are the top dog. And you're going to have some things where you don't have as big of a role. That doesn't mean you're not important. Just play your role, do your job, and everyone's happy. So trying to get all the parents on the same page and have them to have your back, you know, is very important, right? So the parents have got to be on the coach's side. They got to have the coach's back. As soon as a kid comes off the ice and a parent goes, you should have played more. I can't believe he didn't put you on the penalty kill. All the trust in the coach is gone. That kid is ruined for the rest of the year, right? That was kind of my thing is if you've said some stuff in the past, try to backtrack a little bit, right? Hop on our team so that the team does well and your kids are just going to have a fun weekend. Like that was the whole message to the parents.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, and that's, you know, there are going to be kids that you're going to see during that weekend that, you know, they're just squeezing it too tight. And, you know, you want to give them ample opportunity, but when push comes to shove and it's crunch time, you might have to, you know, sit them down and go with someone else. And to me, it's all about communication too. You know, you got to talk to the kid, you get to the kid before you get to the parents, and then, you know, it all works itself out. Yeah. Yep. No, been there as a number one seed, man. It's a huge accomplishment, one, to win the regular season. And I wish you nothing but the best. We've had, we've had great opportunities as the number one in the past, and we've come on out and had it was 3 and done, and for the parents, it was the best 3 and out ever. We had a great time afterwards. At the end of the day, exactly. You know, you're with this group for four more days. You hope to be with them again next year, but we all know hockey is one of those where every team's different. You know, every year there's always going to be something different. There could be people moving. There could be people trying out for other teams or moving on type of deal. Enjoy the moment, go game to game, and hopefully there'll be a banner being raised in Advent Health there for you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the just, kind of the final thing that I said to them was, I went around a couple kids and I said, hey, how many conference championships or division championship banners are hanging up in the Lightning rafters? I don't know. How many Stanley Cup banners? 3, right? I'm a Caps fan. Exactly. I'm a Caps fan, right? I was tormented until 2018, but we got President's banners. We got President's trophies banners hanging up for days. Our division championships are stacked. We have 1 Stanley Cup banner. Right. So I tell those kids, I was like, guys, coming in first, as you said, great accomplishment. It's awesome. But it doesn't, that's not the end goal, guys. OK, so let's get the state championship so that when you guys come back in 20 years with your kids, you can walk into Advent and go, I was on that team. Right. That's what we want to do.
Yep. Yeah.
So coach, where is the state championships being held for you and your division this year?
So this year, 12U Black is in Orlando, which is nice. Last year for 10U, we were also at the Ice Den. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but they do a really great job. The streaming of the games there, the DSPN, which is really, really cool. They have the guys up top that are actually calling the game, and all the grandparents all get to watch. Actually had my mom and dad call me after the game, and it was like, that was so cool. They were talking about how good you guys are, and how they're so shocked by how good these kids at 10 years old are. And so they do a really, really fun job, and all the guys there actually enjoy it, and so it's cool to have some energy calling the game for these kids that are 10, 11, 12 years old. It's very neat.
Yeah, definitely a little bit better than that live barn and not hearing anything. That's for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Or even worse, when you do hear stuff and you're like, uh-oh.
Yes.
Yeah. The stuff that you shouldn't have heard. Yeah.
Stand too close to the camera. You always had to know where that camera was. Well, listen, coach, based on everything, I love the way you run your organization. I mean, I'm ready to lace them up and skate through a wall for you this weekend, man. Absolutely. So I'm all in. But sounds like you're doing great things with that team and the organization. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck to you and your teammates. Good luck in Orlando and bring the banner home to Wesley Chapel, man. Best of luck to you.
Awesome, guys, thank you so much. This was a blast. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for joining us in the Pigeon's Nest. Kev, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up.
Sounds good.
Well, Kev, great. I mean, I really enjoyed listening to the coaches give us their breakdown and kind of wrap up their seasons and get into what's coming for states and what's it going to take. And it's great to get the breakdown between, the 10U and the 12U and the 16U, right? Because at the end of the day, even though they're different ages, they're all the same. But it's, what's your formwork? You were a head coach. You commanded the room, taking teams at states, winning states and finishing number 2 in states. What can you provide kind of what they're looking at to going into states?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's just, staying in the moment, remembering what the message was throughout the year, whether it be philosophy, whether it be systems, as you get older, enjoy the ride. And I've said it over and over. It doesn't matter where you're coming in the state champions or in the state tournament, everyone's got an opportunity. Luckily, I've been part of teams that have been the 8th seed coming in, and you get hot at the right time. And, some teams might take you for granted based off of previous results, and they just don't see that, this team could one up them. And if you're not prepared and you're going to take people lightly, be prepared for some consequences on that. And, that goes both ways. Parents, have fun with it. 10U to you, it's crazy. My son has moved on and he's in university now, and I sit back and look at these little squirts, the 10U's, and it's like, it goes quick. Don't take it so seriously. Have fun with it. More importantly, hopefully they've learned something and they want to return and play next season. But don't look at next season yet. finish it out this tournament. If you move on to nationals, even better. But you know, there's only one winner in each group, so have fun with it. That's the key right there.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And to wrap up the show, I do want to mention and bring attention to a team that did stay in the moment and take advantage of it and was the one winner. And that was the 12U Florida Lions girls team that went to Puy-Puy, Quebec, which is the most prestigious 12U tournament in the world. Countries or teams from all over the world show up, and some, you know, we put in, you know, the Florida this or the local that. You get Team Finland and you get Team Latvia. Like, you get the team from the country that comes over, and it's not just like they take a bunch of kids out of like some rink in Helsinki and put Team Finland on them. Like, it's a regional tryout and you have to make these teams, and these are big deals. And they, I don't know if they've had it for a long time. My ignorance on the divisions. I got reached out to by a dad during the quarterfinal run, and he started to send me photos and videos, and I shared the crap out of it on social media, as a lot of you saw. And I couldn't be prouder to be able to share that experience kind of real time. You know, like I said, I was getting the text when they won, like immediately after they won. I got the video of the goal. You know, we were able to put it up there and share it around. So it was awesome to be able to bring that story back to Florida, back to the local, and saw a lot of people interact with the stuff on socials. And we got to show that, you know, what they did and how they did it was really awesome, and at a level that is truly regarded as the best in the world. So for all of you out there, congratulations to all of you involved, the skaters and the coaches, of course, but to you parents, you know, again, having done that trip,
it's a commitment.
If you've never been to Quebec for Carnival in February, go. It is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's cold, but man, is it awesome to be up there in that during that time. And I know Carnival is kind of offsetting the tournament's long, so you may have missed part of it or whatever, but it's still downtown Quebec, Quebec City, gorgeous area, right? Old town Quebec. Like, you know, I'm sure you've had some experience with it, Kev. It's gorgeous.
Yep. Did you see Bonhomme? That's the Carnival mascot.
The mascot,
it used to be back in the day.
And drank some weird red liquor that warms you up. And it's like battery acid mixed with a little juice, I think. I don't know what it is, but man, is that, and you're making the lollipops on the snow there on the ice, syrup. Like, it's a great time. It's a great city, great time. But no, congratulations to the Florida Lions girls program that went up there and showed the world who was number one in that division, that age group. So great job, ladies and parents, congratulations, and be very, very proud.
Yeah, just awesome. It just goes to show again, you know, how much the game is growing, and it's going to continue to grow, specifically with the success that the U.S. has had, and, you know, both the men's and the women's. And, you know, you've got a Pee-wee girls team that just won a huge, huge, huge tournament. That's only going to amp it up that much more. So congrats to those young ladies, and exciting times here, specifically in Florida with hockey.
Absolutely. So if you're playing this weekend, best of luck to you. If you're playing next weekend, best of luck to you. And we'll break it all down as the results start coming in here in the Pigeon's Nest. So until next time, Kev, you're going to be okay. You still got the Maple Leaf flag still flying proud there.
I'm drowning myself in maple syrup, and, you know, it is what it is. This one's going to sting for a little bit because the opportunities to win were there, but, you know, that's the beauty of the game, man. It's not, you might have flow of the game or control of the game for pockets of the time, but if you don't come through and execute, the other team will.
So, absolutely. Yeah. They sure will. Absolutely. Well, for my sake, I'm glad they did. It was a hell of a game, hell of a season, and so much good things in the hockey world going on right now, and I'm just glad we get to be part of it. So thank you for listening today, and we'll see you next time in the Pigeon's Nest. Cheers.